Hi, I'm Howard Dayton, and today I want to share something with you that is super important for you to remember.
Hello again, and welcome to Money Matters from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Steve Moore. Also today, what you should do if a creditor puts a lien on your home. We hope that's not the case, but we'll talk about that as part of our Hey Howard email. And as always, we'll take your calls and answer whatever financial questions might be on your mind. Our number is toll-free, 1-800-525-7000. Thanks for joining us today on Money Matters.
Well, I've shared a few times with you that I'll be making a transition at the end of this month. It'll be my last time as the regular host of this program. Now, I'll still be on the air from time to time, but I've really been sensing that I need to make this transition to be able to spend more time, well, teaching videos, writing books such as the Money and Marriage book I'm working on now. And I am so grateful that the Lord's raised up Chuck Bentley, who's Crown's new CEO, to take my place as host of this program. As you'll discover, Chuck's a wonderful communicator. He has a great heart for people. He's very passionate about God's people learning God's way of handling money. And as I've mentioned a few times before, this isn't an easy transition for me because I have just loved talking with so many of you, reading so many of the thousands of Hey Howard emails you sent me. And it's just been a joy, and I'm really going to miss the regular time with you. So as I said in an earlier program, between now and the end of March, I want to remind you of some of the most important things for you to know about what God says about handling money. And one of those big things is to be aware of just how fragile the American economy really is. Now, I know this may sound a little spooky to some of you, but back in 1977, the Lord communicated to me in a very powerful way that during my lifetime, we were going to have a very, very difficult time. And he was calling me to help God's people prepare for that time. Now, to this day, I don't know when that difficult time is going to occur or how it's going to manifest itself. But today, it's becoming increasingly clear that our country, we just can't continue forever piling up more debt without suffering the consequences. So what should you do in light of what's going to be happening to our country? Simply be faithful to apply God's way of handling money. Be faithful in your work to work hard and honor your boss. Be faithful to give generously. Be faithful to spend very carefully. Be faithful to save regularly and make every effort to get out of debt. And you know, once you've done everything you can do, you can rest in the Lord, knowing that Jesus Christ is the one who so faithfully provides for each one of us.
Good reminder, Howard. You know, it dawns on me that as we approach some coming hard times, we're going to have to change some of the things we do and also change some of the things we think.
That's right, Steve.
All right. If we can help you think through your finances, give us a call, 800-525-7000. More after this.
My name is Emily, and my husband and I are working on Destination 2, which is to pay off all credit card debt and save 1 month living expenses for emergencies.
The Crown Money Map shows you the 7 steps, or destinations, to true financial freedom.
We have about $1,500 in credit cards left to pay off, and then we can increase our savings.
Steps like paying off credit card debt, starting an emergency fund or a college fund for the kids. Now that all sounds great, but how do you do it? While the Crown Money Map shows you which step to take next, now there's a book that will show you how. Your Money Map, the new book by Howard Dayton. This guide will help you to reach each destination on the Crown Money Map and eventually true financial freedom.
It's a great feeling when you reach the next destination and you can see the progress that you've been making.
To order your copy of Your Money Map by Howard Dayton in hardcover or in audio form, call 800-722-1976.
Money Matters reaches listeners with God's financial principles on over 500 radio stations across the country. Your donation helps us remain on the air and continue to see lives changed. Call 1-800-722-1976 or go to crown.org.
So very glad that you could join us today on Money Matters from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Howard Dayton along with Steve Moore. And Steve, why don't we talk to some folks from, North Carolina?
North Carolina. Leicester, North Carolina.
Exactly. That's
Ring
just
a bell.
What I was thinking.
There
yeah.
you go. WMIT, our station in that neck of the woods. Let's welcome Tony.
Tony, thank you so much for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a question. My wife and I want to take a will out. We're in our early 30s and have a young daughter and look to have more kids. We went to visit an attorney, and he advised us on a will and on a family trust also. What was the shocker for us was when he gave us the price, he suggested a will was going to run us about $1,800 and a family trust about $2,500.
I would look for another attorney.
Wow, really?
This guy came and did a seminar at our church, and we really thought he would be good, but that was my question. Does that sound kind of outrageous? And also, what can you describe the difference between a will and a family trust?
Sure thing. You know, first of all, a young couple, one child. Do you have a lot of assets?
Is it? No, it didn't come up to. I mean, over the threshold of, I think, what, a million? Or I mean, it was nothing like that.
Right. Right. But, yeah. Exactly. So, what you need is a simple will. That's all you need at this stage of the game, Tony. And, I mean, it shouldn't be anywhere close to $1,800. What I would do is I do prefer using attorneys if at all possible. So I would ask around to try to find somebody who's reasonable, a Christian person. And I would go prepared. In fact, you can go on Crown's website, crown.org, and under giving, if you click on giving on the left-hand column, you'll see a will planning kit. And the will planning kit, you can just print it off, and you can fill out the form, you know, who's going to be your personal representative, who will be the guardian, how do you want your assets dispersed, you know, all those basic issues. I would always take a financial statement showing your assets and liabilities. So, you know, you're providing the attorney everything they need. Of course, get a bid from them. You know, how much is it going to cost me to do a simple will? And if, you know, if by chance it's just too expensive for you, there is a website. It's LegalZoom, LegalZoom.com. And they, you can, get a, just plug in the information and download a will. It's much less expensive doing it that way, but I like using an attorney, if at all possible, a Christian attorney who has some estate experience, because if when you really need them, it's very helpful to have somebody with whom you have a relationship.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you very
much. Okay, Tony. Appreciate you giving us a call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Howard, so again, the major difference between a will and a trust.
I'm sorry, I didn't answer that, Steve. You know, the will would handle your personal property typically. The trust would handle the real property and your financial assets.
Okay, good point. 1-800-525-7000, Wooten, Kentucky. Let's say hello to Helena.
Helena, thank you so much for calling.
Hello.
Hey, what's on your heart today?
I am curious about, my husband and I tithe on our income, but
yes,
we're a blended family, and there's child support involved.
Yes.
So do we tithe on that as well? And it's the child support payments are actually sort of erratic, so do we go ahead and tithe on what we should be getting, or do we wait until we get it and then tithe on that?
Yeah, this is a great question, Helene. I really appreciate you asking it. Child support, as you know, is mandated by the courts. You know, the court would require, in this case, probably your former husband.
Yes.
The court mandates that he makes the child support payment, and the child support payment really is for the exclusive use and benefit of the child. That's the purpose of it. So really, the only time a person should tithe on a child support payment is if they go to their former spouse and get permission to do that in writing, because you don't want to have to go back to the court and explain, you know, I've been tithing on it, and the judge says, well, that's not for the exclusive benefit of the child. So the only time to tithe on a child support payment is when you get the permission of the former spouse.
Okay.
And that, you know, you may or may not be able to obtain that, but that's, to be safe, that's the way you ought to approach it.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, let me send you the book, Your Money Map.
Right. That'll work great.
Good. And you join us on the journey to true financial freedom, okay?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that would be a difficult and perhaps even touchy situation, huh?
In some cases, for sure, Steve. I mean, other cases, if the person is a believer, they might embrace that.
Let's move along to Farmington, Missouri. Philip, listening to our good friends at the BOT Radio Network.
Hey, Philip, appreciate you giving us a call.
Hi, Howard. It's an absolute pleasure to finally speak with you.
Well, I'm the one that's delighted. What's on your heart today, Philip?
Well, I have a very simple question. I heard you talking about being in business with non-believers.
Yes.
I am getting ready to do a business adventure with a friend of mine at work. The issue I'm concerned with is he is a devout Mormon.
Yes.
One of the greatest guys I know, great family man, outstanding morals. However, you know, you and I both know that from the Baptist faith, you know, the Mormon faith is a very big difference.
Yes, there is.
I was wondering, I know you spoke on a verse on Second Chronicles, and I was wondering if you could help me guide me in this matter, because I feel a need to do God's will in this business and to succeed. Where should I go with this?
Yeah, I really appreciate you asking this question before you get into partnership. And Philip, this answer may sound harsh. But the Bible is really clear. It's 2 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 14,
yes,
which basically says, don't be yoked or bound together with unbelievers. And the way I describe it to people is there's absolutely nothing wrong working for a person who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with having somebody work for you who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But in the business context, you know, the Lord makes it really clear we should avoid being in partnership with somebody who doesn't have, you know, faith in their Lord, in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I wouldn't go into partnership with somebody who didn't have that faith.
Well, that you know, I've really had a tugging at my heart about this business, because this business is such an amazing resource to, you know, to our community, what we're going to do. But there's just been something there, and I think this is what God has been, you know, putting in my heart, that, you know, something is not right. And when I heard it yesterday, I knew that was, you know, my prayer is being answered, and this really affirms what I believe is God has been telling me. So it's a blessing to hear that from you.
Well, I do appreciate your calling. And Philip, let me send you Larry Burkett's classic book on business. It's called Business by the Book.
Yes, about it.
Yeah, it's just helped literally hundreds of thousands of Christians in business figure out how to operate their business God's way. And let me pop that in the mail to you.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Question for you, Phil. Is there any chance that you could hire him as an employee rather than being partners with him?
No, that's a great question. And I believe the answer to that is probably yes. Reason being is because when we went to get financing for the business, my credit is a little better. I have a little better history in that. So we've had to basically say, you can't be on the loan. It's going to have to be me. So I'm looking at maybe taking the business 100% ownership and saying, you know, come work with me, but not as a partner.
Yeah, and in that case, which I just loved, I loved that possibility, by the way. I mean, you can share a significant portion of the profits with him. I mean, I don't have a problem doing that one bit with a person, but just would like you to be the majority stockholder in anything that you go into.
Sure. And that's a great question. I really appreciate, you know, looking at it from that perspective, because that was something that I had looked at, but, you know, there's always that doubt of, well, is this really what God is saying? And it's great hearing it from another Christian voice to say, this is what God is affirming in your heart, and to really lead you down that path. So that's nice to hear.
Thank you, Philip.
God bless.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, really appreciate your call.
Thank you. God bless.
One last one before we hit our break. Schaumburg, Illinois, WMBI. Jim, what's your question today?
Hey there, Howard.
Hey.
Myself and my fiance just recently graduated from college last May. She's in her first year of her master's program, going to be a counselor.
Very good.
With the wedding coming up in July, still a little ways off, there's just some decisions that we want to be put in place now.
Yes.
And it comes down to three big things. One, I do have some school loans, and since I need to commute, I need to pick up a car. So I have some debt. She doesn't. You know, I've got some extra money now while I'm living at home. So the first question is, what should the priorities be with the money? Should it be going towards just saving up for the bills, or, you know, should it be attacking the debt right away? Second question, housing in Chicago being very expensive.
Yes.
It's an option to be living with her parents, but it's one we both really feel strongly against, not because of any interpersonal issues. They're both godly parents. They're great. Respect her independence, but more so just being able to commute, not spend so much on the gas and time-wise. Would that be, you know, something we'd want to consider being newlyweds? And then last thing is for Natalie, would it be maybe worthwhile for her to consider stretching out the school to go part-time and work part-time, although that would likely incur, you know, more debt as schools drag out longer and she's not able to get a full-time job.
Yes. Let me ask you this. How much do you have currently, Jim, in the way of savings, and how much debt do you actually have on your student loans? And do you have a car loan already?
Yeah, I do have a car loan. Between the two loans, the school loan and the car, there is, I think it's like 36.
Okay.
That have in debt.
And how much do you have in the way of savings?
Savings, I've got, I'll say it's like $2,500 right now.
Okay.
Bring in about $1,800 a month, you know, after tax and help, you know, insurance is paid for.
Okay, good.
She brings in probably right now with babysitting and, you know, making time for homework, grad school, you know, like in the area of $200 babysitting a month. So it's not a ton.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. To answer your first question, I would go ahead and just keep this in savings. Additional income that you earn, just beef up that savings. $2,500 is not all that much to start your married life with. So I would try to beef that up. In terms of housing, I'm with you. The hour and a half commute, one way, I guess, that's a lot of time, a lot of wear and tear on you as well as the car. I would pray that God would just open up an opportunity for y'all, closer to her school, closer to your work, so that, it might be house sitting for somebody, or somebody's got a garage apartment or something. I would just pray that the Lord would do something really special to allow you to have affordable housing. I can say this from experience that when we first got married, the places we stayed in were, how can I say this? Modest. More than modest. But we didn't care because we were young and newly married and just crazy in love with each other. And it really didn't matter where we lived. So I would be asking the Lord to provide really modest housing. In terms of the long term, her education, I think the name of the game is to try to get her education with as little debt as possible and pay it off as quickly as possible. So I would be looking for scholarships, grants, working part-time, working during summer, anything that the two of you can do to minimize the amount of debt that you have going forward. And I would love it if you two could join us at a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, Jim. They're on Saturday. If there is a time that would be free for you and her, I'd love it if the two of you started your marriage, knowing God's way of handling money. And one last quick thing, because I'm running out of time, but plan a modest wedding, you know, one that's not expensive, one that's not going to put you in a place where you have to incur more debt.
And I'll tell you what, Jim, we'll talk you off air to make sure that you've got all the information you need about the seminar. And we also have some money and marriage resources, questions that you guys need to be asking each other and talking about. We'll send you some complimentary resources in that regard. Thanks very much for calling today. Coming up next, we'll talk about whether declaring bankruptcy is the way to respond to a lien being placed on your home. Your Hey Howard email when Money Matters continues.
Academic Films presents How to Budget Your Money. When you cash your hard-earned paycheck, take the cash and separate it into paper envelopes, one for each spending category, one envelope for food, one for gasoline, one for the rent, and so on.
It would be nice if you could still use all cash and paper envelopes to budget. You'd always know how much was left in each category just by looking in the envelope. But nowadays, your life's a little too complicated for that. You may spend using cash, checks, credit cards, and automatic bank drafts all in the same day. That's why today you have Crown Envelopes online. Envelopes pulls in your transactions from your credit card and bank accounts daily so you can easily separate them into the right spending categories. With just a click of your mouse, Crown Envelopes helps you avoid overspending. And since it's online, you can access it from the office, from home, or anywhere. Stay in control of your money with Crown Envelopes. Right now, you can try it free for a full month. Just visit crown.org.
Hey, welcome back to Money Matters from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Howard Dayton along with Steve Moore. And hey, Steve, what do we got for the Hey Howard questions today?
Well, here they are, Howard. Here's number one. Hey, Howard, we've gotten ourselves in debt, and one of the credit card companies has sued to put a lien on our house. Our lawyer says Chapter 7 bankruptcy is the only way to go. Is that what you would do?
Well, when a creditor puts a lien on your home, it doesn't force you to sell it, and I would make every effort to try to pay off the debt, avoid bankruptcy. You know, it often helps to have somebody who's really good with money, who's objective, take a look at your financial situation before you make a huge decision like bankruptcy. So please meet with one of our volunteer Money Map coaches. And if you have a ton of credit card debt, get in touch with financialhope.com. They can help you.
This is from Luis in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Howard, my daughter needs help paying her college tuition. I don't have any savings, so I'm wondering if I should pull money out of my 401k.
Well, Luis, it's great that you want to help your daughter, but read my lips. Do not invade your 401k to do it. You have to pay income taxes on it. Plus, you probably get whacked with a 10% penalty if you invade your retirement funds. Instead, what I'd do is just encourage your daughter to work part-time during school, full-time during the summers, do anything she can to diminish the need to borrow for her education.
Hey, Howard, I'm tired of living paycheck to paycheck. I want to start budgeting. For the income purposes on my budget, do I need to focus on the gross or the net?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Either one can work as you develop your spending plan, your budget. But for a lot of people, since their taxes are withheld on their paycheck, it's easier for them to budget on what they receive as their net from their paycheck.
And we'll finish with this one from Heather in New York. Hey, Howard, my husband and I are thrilled to be on the journey to true financial freedom. We're trying to move from Destination 1 to Destination 2. Do we add 1 month's living expenses to the $1,000 we have in our emergency fund, or does the $1,000 count toward the 1 month's living expense?
Well, I am thrilled that you're on the journey to true financial freedom with us, and I am thrilled that you've reached Destination 1. Yeah, count the $1,000 you've already saved toward the 1 month's living expense that you need to save for Destination 2, and just keep going for it. I love it when God's people make real financial progress.
And we'll answer more of your email next week. If you have a question you'd like to send to Hey Howard, just visit crown.org, click on Money Matters, and you'll see the link. Again, the address is crown.org. And if you're not yet on the journey to true financial freedom, maybe you don't even have a Crown Money Map, well, it's easy to do. Just visit crown.org/moneymap, crown.org/moneymap. Well, since it's Friday, we want to tip our caps to our Money Matters staff. They include our senior producer, Dwayne Harms. He leads the production team of Rich Rozzel, Carl Peets, and Johnny Franklin. St. Patrick's Day is Monday.
That's right.
But that's just another day for Johnny. He doesn't have any green at all in the leaves of his family tree. Our writer, Scott Grant, will be wearing green to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Some of his ancestors are indeed from Ireland, and his red hair proves it. I'm Steve Moore, a little Irish, a little English, in my heritage, and I also own a green Toyota. That's the best I can do. Howard, any Irish in your blood?
Yeah, I'm pretty close to you, Steve. Got some English, Irish, and Scottish, but I don't have one stitch of clothing that's green. Don't even drive a green automobile.
Irish spring soap in the shower, perhaps?
Well, yeah, that's a good one.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today on Money Matters from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Howard Dayton. And we really do appreciate you being with us. We sure hope you can join us again next time as together we take another step on the journey to true financial freedom.